Episode 113 of Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse futures and options exchange. CME Group's markets help individuals and businesses around the world manage risk and seize opportunities. Learn more at futuresfundamentals.com.
Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudelli sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudelli.
Hey everyone, before we get started today, I want to thank our sponsors, CME Group and Trading Technologies. Today I spoke to a man who grew up in the Midwest rural farm country, went to law school, and when he was back in Chicago taking the bar exam, he got a call from an Indiana senator to help him with financial policy. He took the opportunity and has since become the resident expert on derivatives trading. He served as a CFTC commissioner under the Bush administration, worked at the New York Stock Exchange, and from there has moved on to becoming the president and CEO of the FIA. His name is Walt Lucan. Today, Walt and I discussed the current state of the clearing industry and how there's a need for a review of the rules and regulations in the financial industry. I asked Walt what needs to be addressed in the current state of regulations. We then discussed the role that regulators are tasked with to incentivize fair innovation and healthy market behavior to make markets more efficient and accessible for traders. Walt is a man of Midwestern values that truly cares about the future of the financial industry. He does great work in the advancement of our industry, and it was an absolute pleasure speaking with him today. As always, thank you all for listening, and please enjoy this episode. Walt, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Anthony. Glad to be here.
And thank you for taking the time to speak with us today, Walt. Now, you have an extremely important role in the industry. You are the president and CEO of FIA. Now, FIA is the leading global trade organization for the futures, options, and centrally cleared derivatives markets. So before we get into topics today, Walt, I really want to hear about your backstory. You know, can you tell us how you got your start in the industry and take us through your journey a bit on becoming the CEO of FIA?
Well, thank you, Anthony. And I do feel like a steward for our industry. You know, you said I'm a leader, but I really represent the views of the members of our industry. So I'm just thrilled to be a part of this and playing that role for our industry. But yeah, it's a very, you know, it's a case of serendipity of how I ended up where I am today. You know, I grew up in the Midwest. I was born in Chicago, raised in Indiana, very much in rural areas that, you know, the farmers and the producers that use the products in our industry, those were people that I was going to school with and you know, going out to play with after school. And so, you know, I grew up in a rural background, ended up going to Indiana University, where I studied at the Kelley School of Business there, and was fascinated by sort of the esoteric part of business, which is finance. You know, I took classes on you know, Black and Scholes options pricing methods. I learned a lot of sort of the math behind our industry, but never really thought I would apply it in a meaningful way, and ended up going to law school, where I, you know, got a law degree, again, mostly on the business side of things, and afterwards came back to Chicago to take the bar exam, and got a call from Washington, D.C., where my senator from Indiana, Richard Lugar, asked me to come and do financial policy for him. He was not only a senator from Indiana, but also chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee. And so when he asked whether I would be willing to step into the role of taking on this weird issue of futures and derivatives, I actually was excited because this was an area that crossed all my background. So economics, law, you know, the business school background that I had, it all seemed to be coming together in one role. And I became sort of the resident expert before there were resident experts on derivatives back in the 90s, and was key and involved with the passage of the Commodity Futures Modernization Act in 2000, which really modernized and put our industry on the map. Since then, I was asked by the President Bush, to take on the role as a commissioner in 2002, and I served as a CFTC commissioner from that time to 2009, the last 18 months of that serving as acting chairman of the agency during the financial crisis. So I was in the middle of it, during that period of time, and learned quite a bit about our industry and what regulators should be doing at times of crisis in order to protect the marketplace. After that, I left and went up to New York and started to work at the New York Stock Exchange, where they were looking to get involved in derivatives trading, and spent 3 years running a small clearinghouse for them, the New York Portfolio Clearing, before eventually getting a call after John Damgaard decided to retire to possibly come back to Washington and take on this role, and I eagerly jumped at that possibility. So, this role that I'm currently in takes all those experiences, the congressional, the regulatory, the business experience, and really rolls it up nicely so that I'm able to take all those experiences and apply it to the benefit of our membership. So it's been a very exciting, to take on this role. But again, life sort of happens and you take opportunities as they present themselves. So I'm just very, very fortunate to have been presented this wonderful opportunity at FIA.
Yeah, great stuff, Walt. Thank you for sharing that. I always love hearing people's journeys and how they got to where they are now. And that brings us up to what's coming up as FIA Boca. Now, I've attended, all of the FIA shows in the U.S., and I'm really excited to attend Boca this year. I have a booth there, and I'm going to be talking with many of the industry leaders and participants about some of the main topics happening in the industry. And one of those topics that is of great interest to me is the call for comprehensive review of all financial reform regulations. Now, as we know, President Trump is talking a lot about deregulation. And for our industry, I have been reading a lot about this deregulation and possible effects to the financial industry. Now, can you talk to us about the current state of the clearing ecosystem, the totality of regulations in place now, and the consolidation we're seeing in clearing members?
Sure. No, I think after the financial crisis, clearly there was a need to bring additional safety and de-risk the system. And we saw that. But oftentimes, and this is not surprising, the pendulum swings too far. And so we now have over 22,000 pages of regulations in the Federal Register. And it's probably a lot of it was done on top of each other. So there hasn't been a review to find out, are these rules working? Are there duplicative rules? Are there ways to simplify things, to lessen the burden without lessening the safety to the marketplace? And so FIA took it upon the new administration to write a letter to the president and say, we'd like to call for a review of all financial reform regulations in the United States and to take several principles in mind, one being smart regulation. By smart regulation, we mean not necessarily less regulation, not necessarily more regulation, but the right regulation. So making sure that regulations are tailored to the risk that we're trying to solve for. We are going to go through, and we've asked the president and the agencies to go through and try to look at these rules over the next, several months. And indeed, the next week after our letter, the president did come out with a 120-day review, asked for in an executive order to review these regulations. And so I would assume that the CFTC and other agencies are currently doing that. And we'd like to be a part of that dialogue to make sure that as they look at these regulations, that we can take the input from our members and show them, where there's need for reform, where there's duplication, where they can lessen the burden, all those things without, again, increasing the risk to the system. That's the key. So we're not asking to deregulate for the sake of deregulating, but really trying to balance this in a way that finds the right balance between safety and growth.
All right, I want to take this a touch further. I love how you said smart regulation. So let's talk about that a little bit. I know that some people would like to see less and even loose regulations, while others feel the exact opposite, and they want more and even stricter regulations, in which a lot of times turn into very complex regulations. So you said smart regulations. Now let's talk about that in enforcement. Can you tell us what you think needs to be addressed in the current state of regulations?
Well, I think, you know, enforcement, clearly enforcement is an important tool for regulators to, you know, go after activity that's harmful to markets or individuals. And the CFTC, if you look at their mission, has a strong mission to prevent fraud and to try to deter manipulation and market events that may have an impact on systemic risk in the system. But it all, the mission also talks about, you know, making sure that there's responsible innovation and fair competition. So there's a balance between, you know, for the enforcement folks of going after wrongful activity, but also making sure that you're not going after every technical violation so that you're impeding growth. And that's, you know, I think something that's a difficult balance to do. But I think it's certainly something that the commission could strive to try to meet. And that's really our point here is let's not regulate by enforcement. Let's go after wrongful activity. But when it comes down to, you know, going after people for technical violations of rules that are almost impossible to comply with, that's not really what we should be going after on the enforcement side of things. So that's not smart regulation, and we hope to find that balance somewhere down the road.
Yeah, well said, Walt, and I look forward to seeing how all this pans out here. Now, I want to talk about something else that you guys do at FIA, in particular the Chicago show. You have the Innovators Pavilion, which I really love, and you focus on innovation and competition between a select group of fintech startups. Now, this past year, I was rooting for a few friends and recent guests on this show to pull out a victory. We had Top Step Trader and Nurenzik. Didn't happen, but proud of those guys for the great work they are doing in the industry. Now, can you talk to us about why FIA does this, and also touch base on the role that regulators are tasked with to incentivize fair innovation and healthy market behavior to make markets more efficient and accessible for traders?
Well, innovation is the lifeblood of our industry. And I think, you know, our industry in particular is built on sort of it's in our DNA, innovation is. And so, you know, how can we, as the trade association that represents that industry, promote innovation in all forms? And so we came up with this concept of doing an innovation pavilion at our expo conference. You know, we'd like to extend that in London, where there's a very innovative fintech community there. But the idea was to showcase startup companies that have come up with innovative ideas, to have a competition, and then to allow them, a panel of judges, to look at those innovative companies and award prizes to those that are the best of the breed of the innovators. And so we've done this now for a couple years in Chicago with some great ideas that have come out of this. And, you know, I think it also matches up, because of our promotion, some of the venture capitalists with the innovative companies that may not have exposure to those funding mechanisms. So again, this helps to keep the lifeblood of our industry going. We're always this creative destruction, you know, that, you know, at one point we had trading pits, and it was going to be a doomsday when the trading pits disappeared. And, you know, the markets are bigger and stronger now that we have electronic trading. And, you know, so it's this constant churning and innovation that occurs. And we have to be, you know, evolving with that change in a way that really embraces innovation. So we're trying to help the industry be smart about it, be educated about it, and reward those companies that innovate the best in breed. You know, the regulators are a big part of this, as you mentioned earlier. It's part of their mission to promote responsible innovation. And so, you know, there are ideas out there that folks are thinking about, you know, creating regulatory sandboxes in which innovative companies have regulatory relief in order to get off the ground, so they don't have to comply with all the burdens that a fully regulated entity might have to comply with. Again, with this idea of promoting innovative companies as they come out of the box, because you never know when you might have the next, you know, Uber or Apple or whatever it might be in our industry that didn't exist. And remember, you know, ICE was a small entity, a small startup, you know, that Jeff Sprecher started, I don't know how long ago, not very long ago, no. Less than 20 years ago. And now look at the market cap of that company. And so we're hoping to promote more of those types of entities going forward. And competition is really what drives our industry.
Excellent work with the Innovators Pavilion, Walt. I truly love it. And I totally agree with you when you say innovation is the lifeblood. So, Walt, you're a super busy guy. I can't thank you enough for taking the time to speak with us today on Futures Radio. So before I let you go, is there anything else you'd like to add to today's show?
No, I would just say, thank you thank you, Anthony, for allowing me to do this. And, you know, I would encourage those that aren't signed up for Boca, if they want to come down, it's in Boca Raton, March 14th through the 16th. We have a great lineup of speakers with former Prime Minister David Cameron speaking, as well as Lord Hague, the Foreign Secretary under Margaret Thatcher, Blythe Masters, Acting CFTC Chairman Giancarlo, and Senator David Perdue from Georgia, who serves on the Senate Ag Committee and also on the Senate Banking Committee. So we have a great lineup of speakers and panelists next week. And in Boca, the weather is always sunny, so come on down and we'd love to see you. And the topics are always bright, so we'd love ever have everybody down there.
Well, my recommendation is if you're in the business, you want to attend the FIA shows. I mean, the Boca and the Chicago events are always great networking events, and I truly enjoy them. You guys do an excellent job, and the speakers are always great. I learned a lot, met a lot of great people there. So, Walt, you can count on me being there. I'm going to be there with a booth. I look forward to speaking with you and other leaders in our industry, talking about these great topics that we discussed today. So thank you again so much for coming on, and I'll see you in Boca.
Thanks, Anthony. See you down there.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.